Chapter 10, The Lobster Quadrille. The Mock Turtle sighed deeply and drew the back of one flapper across his eyes. He looked at Alice and tried to speak, but for a minute or two, sobs choked his voice.
Same as if he had a bone in his throat.
The Gryphon set to work shaking him and punching him in the back. At last, the Mock Turtle recovered his voice, and with tears running down his cheeks, he went on again.
You may not have lived much under the sea.
I haven't.
And perhaps you were never even introduced to a lobster.
I once tasted.
Alice checked herself hastily and said instead,
No, never.
So you can have no idea what a delightful thing a lobster quadrille is.
No, indeed. What sort of a dance is it?
Why, you first form into a line along the seashore.
Two lines. Seals, turtles, salmon, and so on. Then when you've cleared all the jellyfish out of the way...
That generally takes some time.
You advance twice,
each with a lobster as a partner.
Of course. Advance twice, set to partners...
Change lobsters and retire in same order.
Then, you know, you throw the...
The lobsters!
The Gryphon shouted with a bound into the air.
As far out to sea as you can.
Swim after them!
The Gryphon screamed.
Turn a somersault in the sea!
Cried the Mock Turtle, capering wildly about.
Change lobsters again,
the Gryphon yelled at the top of his voice.
Back to land again, and... That's all the first figure.
The Mock Turtle suddenly dropped his voice, and the two creatures who had been jumping about like mad things all this time sat down again very sadly and quietly and looked at Alice. Alice said timidly,
It must be a very pretty dance.
Would you like to see a little of it?
Very much indeed.
Come, let's try the first figure.
The Mock Turtle spoke to the Gryphon.
We can do it without lobsters, you know. Which shall sing?
Oh, you sing. I've forgotten the words.
So they began solemnly dancing round and round Alice, every now and then treading on her toes when they passed too close, and waving their forepaws to mark the time, while the Mock Turtle sang this very slowly and sadly.
Will you walk a little faster, said a whiting to a snail. There's a porpoise close behind us. And he's treading on my tail. See how eagerly the lobsters and the turtles all advance. They are waiting on the shingle. Will you come and join the dance? Will you won't, you will, you won't, you will, you join the dance? Will you won't, you will, you won't, you join the dance? You can really have no notion how delightful it will be when they take us up and throw us with the lobsters out to sea. But the snail replied, too far, and gave a look askance. Said he thanked the whiting kindly, but he would not join the dance. Would not, could not, would not, could not, would not join the dance. Would not, could not, could not join the dance. What matters it how far we go, his scaly friend replied. There is another shore, you know, upon the other side. The farther off from England, the nearer is to France. Then turn not pale, beloved snail, but come and join the dance. Will you won't, you will, you won't, you will, you join the dance. Will you won't, you will, you won't, you won't, you join the dance.
Alice felt very glad that it was over at last.
Thank you. It's a very interesting dance to watch. And I do so like that curious song about the whiting.
Oh, as to the whiting... You've seen them, of course.
Yes, I've often seen them at Din.
She checked herself hastily.
I don't know where Din may be, but if you've seen them so often, of course you know what they're like.
I believe so. They have their tails in their mouths, and they're all over crumbs.
You're wrong about the crumbs. Crumbs would wash off in the sea, but they have their tails in their mouths. And the reason is...
Here the Mock Turtle yawned and shut his eyes.
Tell her about the reason and all that.
He said to the Gryphon.
The reason is that they would go with the lobsters to the dance. So they got thrown out to sea. So they had to fall a long way. So they got their tails fast in their mouths. So they couldn't get them out again, that's all.
Thank you. It's very interesting. I never knew so much about a whiting before.
I can tell you more than that if you like. Do you know why it's called a whiting?
I never thought about it. Why?
It does the boots and shoes.
The Gryphon replied very solemnly. Alice was thoroughly puzzled.
Does the boots and shoes?
She repeated this in a wondering tone.
Why, what are your shoes done with? I mean, what makes them so shiny?
Alice looked down at them and considered a little before she gave her answer.
They're done with blacking, I believe.
The Gryphon went on in a deep voice.
boots and shoes under the sea are done with whiting. Now you know.
And what are they made of?
Alice asked this in a tone of great curiosity. The Gryphon replied rather impatiently,
Soles and eels, of course. Any shrimp could have told you that.
Alice's thoughts were still running on the song.
If I'd been the whiting, I'd have said to the porpoise, keep back, please. We don't want you with us.
They were obliged to have him with them. No wise fish would go anywhere without a porpoise.
Wouldn't it really?
Alice spoke in a tone of great surprise.
Of course not. Why, if a fish came to me and told me he was going a journey, I should say, with what porpoise?
Don't you mean purpose?
I mean what I say,
the Mock Turtle replied in an offended tone. And the Gryphon added,
Come, let's hear some of your adventures.
I could tell you my adventures, beginning from this morning. But it's no use going back to yesterday, because I was a different person then.
Explain all that,
the Gryphon said in an impatient tone.
No, the adventures first. Explanations take such a dreadful time.
So Alice began telling them her adventures from the time when she first saw the white rabbit. She was a little nervous about it just at first. The two creatures got so close to her, one on each side, and opened their eyes and mouths so very wide. But she gained courage as she went on. Her listeners were perfectly quiet till she got to the part about her repeating, You are old, Father William, to the caterpillar, and the words all coming different. And then the Mock Turtle drew a long breath.
Oh, that's very curious.
It's all about as curious as it can be,
the Mock Turtle repeated thoughtfully.
It all came different. I should like to hear her try and repeat something now. Tell her to begin.
He looked at the Gryphon as if he thought it had some kind of authority over Alice.
Stand up and repeat. 'Tis the voice of the sluggard.
How the creatures order one about and make one repeat lessons. I might just as well be at school at once.
However, she got up and began to repeat it. But her head was so full of the lobster quadrille that she hardly knew what she was saying. And the words came very queer indeed.
'Tis the voice of the lobster. I heard him declare, You have baked me too brown. I must sugar my hair. As a duck with its eyelids, so he with his nose trims his belt and his buttons and turns out his toes. When the sands are all dry, he is gay as a lark and will talk in contemptuous tones of the shark. But when the tide rises and sharks are around, his voice has a timid and tremulous sound.
That's different from what I used to say when I was a child.
Well, I never heard it before, but it sounds uncommon nonsense.
Alice said nothing. She had sat down again with her face in her hands, wondering if anything would ever happen in a natural way again.
I should like to have it explained,
the Gryphon said hastily.
She can't explain it. Go on with the next verse.
The Mock Turtle persisted.
What about his toes? How could he turn them out with his nose, you know?
It's the first position in dancing.
But Alice was dreadfully puzzled by the whole thing and longed to change the subject. The Gryphon repeated impatiently,
Go on with the next verse. It begins, I passed by his garden.
Alice did not dare to disobey, though she felt sure it would all come wrong. And she went on in a trembling voice,
I passed by his garden and marked with one eye how the owl and the panther were sharing the pie. The panther took pie crust and gravy and meat, while the owl had the dish as its share of the treat. When the pie was all finished, the owl, as a boon, was kindly permitted to pocket the spoon, while the panther received knife and fork with a growl and concluded the banquet
What is the use of repeating all that stuff if you don't explain it as you go on? It's by far the most confusing thing I ever heard.
Yes, I think you'd better leave off.
Alice was only too glad to do so.
Shall we try another figure of the lobster quadrille? Or would you like the Mock Turtle to sing you a song?
Oh, a song, please, if the Mock Turtle would be so kind.
Alice replied so eagerly that the Gryphon said in a rather offended tone,
Huh! No accounting for tastes. Sing her turtle soup, will you, old fellow?
The Mock Turtle sighed deeply and began, in a voice sometimes choked with sobs, to sing this.
Beautiful soup, so rich and green, waiting in a hot tureen. Who for such dainties would not stoop? Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Soup of the evening, beautiful soup. Beautiful soup. Beautiful soup. Soup of the evening. Beautiful, beautiful soup. Beautiful soup. Who cares for fish, game, or any other dish? Who would not give all else for toop? pennyworth only of beautiful soup. Pennyworth only of beautiful soup. Beautiful soup. Beautiful soup. Soup of the evening. Beautiful, beautiful soup.
Chorus again.
The Mock Turtle had just begun to repeat it when a cry was heard in the distance.
The trial's beginning!
Come on!
The Gryphon took Alice by the hand and hurried off without waiting for the end of the song.
What trial is it?
Alice panted as she ran, but the Gryphon only answered,
Come on!
And ran the faster, while more and more faintly came, carried on the breezes that followed them, the melancholy words,
Soup of the evening, beautiful!